I'm not sure if you're on there because you're not officially enrolled, are you? I thought you told me to put me on here.
I put you on the users list, but you're not officially enrolled in the course.
Yeah.
So, because you already took this course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, that's impressive. You got them signing in when they're not even enrolled in the course.
It's all about having a whip.
I tell ya.
Do you want to just talk? Do you want me to introduce you?
Either way, I can start off if you want.
Okay, well, let me just make a couple of quick announcements. And then
on time, right?
Nobody's talking. All right. Has anybody not signed in? Because I'm starting to talk, which means you're officially late. Okay. Remember these things? Shut them off. No vibrate, no silence, just shut them off. A couple of quick announcements. I think I emailed you, but if I didn't, there is now on Blackboard a list of project ideas that came from faculty members and a separate list of project ideas that came from community groups. The list from the faculty members is on a listserv. You've got to sign in. The username and password is there on Blackboard. So you can go take a look at the projects and start from there. The list from the community groups is just a Word document that you can look at. So have a look at that. Next week I am looking for a list from everybody of who you want to work with, at least one other person. Let's get these groups to start to form. This week, Dr. Coney is going to be talking about senior design. And so I think with that, I'm just going to hand it over to him.
Thank you. Welcome. I'm impressed that so many of you got here today in the bad weather. So that's good. So, how many of you know who I am? Why? I send too much email. I hear that all the time. Why? No, that's my other job. Why should you? Who really am I in terms of your futures? I'm the person you have to get through in senior design. When I took over senior design a couple semesters ago, I walked into an orientation for high school students. And I said what I hope will be one of my famous quotes here at Temple: it's never too early to start thinking about senior design. And they all kind of laughed and looked bewildered, but it comes up fast, doesn't it? So now the clock is really running this semester. What's your goal by the end of the seminar class? Group and a project. How many of you think you will leave seminar, even though we set that goal, and we're very strict about that, how many of you think you'll leave seminar class with a really good group and a really good project and a good advisor? What percentage of the total? Not high enough. I mean, we're getting much better at this. Why do we want you to have a project and a group at the end of seminar class? So you have a direction. Okay, what else? What are you going to do with that direction? Okay, good. Research, good. When's that going to occur? What? Over the summer. Thank you. So the reason to get you all started at the end of seminar is that this summer you're all going to be working on senior design, because things are going to come very, very fast over the next two semesters after once you start sort of the senior design process. And really what's happening is you're beginning that in this class with finding your team and your group. So today I'll talk a little bit about engineering design. I'll talk a little bit about things, but let me tell you that from experience, and I've taught this course a lot, the single most important thing to make your senior design experience really enjoyable and productive is the choice of your project. The good project's choices sail through. They're wonderful to work with. couple semesters I've worked with two very, very good teams. And it's when the projects are right, it's very easy. Everything falls in place. When the projects are not quite right, it's a torture. Believe me, it's torture for you, it's torture for me, it's torture for Dr. Ryan. We got to get the project definitions right. So if you leave this class with just some hazy idea of what you're going to do, you haven't really completed the process. What we want to make sure this semester is that when you leave this class, you have a very good idea of what you're specifically going to do on your senior design project. That doesn't mean just, oh, we're going to save the world by collecting rainwater. That means, you know, we're going to build this rainwater system that's going to be 10% more efficient than the model XXX that's currently considered state-of-the-art. We want very specific concepts about what you're trying to accomplish. So I want to talk about that today and sort of give you an idea of what we're looking for in senior design. So let me begin with a simple question. Which is a better senior design project? Designing a golf club or designing an iPod? What? Could be both now. One of those I would accept, one of those I would reject. No disrespect to Steve Jobs. What? All right, so let's figure out who we've got in the room, first of all. Mechanicals, raise your hands. Okay, a lot of them. Civils and environmentals, raise. Oh, a lot of them too. ECEs, not so many. Okay, now also I want the students who, we have a few students in the course who are not registered in the course but are looking for teams. Could those students, if they're here, raise their hands? Oh, that's interesting. All right, well,
four or five people in this room who aren't listening to you.
Yeah, so we have a number of students that need to get in teams this semester. I don't want to be too negative today, but I will say every semester I've been doing this at Temple, we've had problems with students getting on teams. And they come to us at the beginning of Senior Design 1, and they say, well, you know, I don't really know anybody, I didn't get on a team, but you got to let me into Senior Design 1 because I need to graduate, and my answer is no. Go back to seminar. You must leave this course on a project. So we have a few students looking for projects. We've had students have to stay here another year because they couldn't get a team and a project and get all that going. So you've got to walk out of this class this semester with a really good team and a really good project. So, mechanicals, you know something about golf clubs. Why is a golf club a better design project than an iPod? No? Cool. Okay. Well, we're going to learn something today then, I think. So we'll come back to that question at the end of the talk. But you need to understand that question before you start looking for senior design projects. We need to make sure you understand that by the end of today's lecture. So a few some background. A couple quotes I think are interesting. The scientist seeks to understand what is. The engineer seeks to create what never was. I always laugh when people say so-and-so discovered the Grand Canyon or Columbus discovered America. I mean, he just kind of stumbled across it. But engineers create things that have never been done before. That means it's a blank piece of paper, and therefore we have to learn about how you actually build products and build and do projects that are meaningful. It's very easy to spend a lot of money doing something that ends up being a failure because nobody's interested in it. According to Merriam-Webster, this is a definition of design. One of the things you will all struggle with in Senior Design 1 is this term, you're going to hear this a lot from me, what is your evidence of design? And we'll talk about that today. Students don't really understand, I think, what is the essence of design. Too often they think, for example, design means implementation. So here's a textbook definition of design: to create, fashion, execute, or construct according to plan. To conceive and plan out in the mind. Now you'll notice in those two definitions, there's one very important word that occurs twice. It is what? Plan. A lot of what we're going to do in senior design is about planning, analysis, designing, not about building. Here's a page from Wikipedia about what design is, and it basically says more of the same. Design is the planning that lays the basis for the making of every object or system. Design is the planning. It doesn't say design is the building, design is the implementing. It says design is the planning. Now, Dr. Ryan and I have a boss. It's not the dean, it's not the president. It's this organization called ABET. And they're coming through next year to evaluate our programs and certify your degrees. And we have to do well on this. So much like you have to deal with the boss in senior design, which is me, I have to deal with the boss, which is ABET. This is what ABET says about design. Students must be prepared for engineering practice through the curriculum culminating in a major design experience. I know we sort of that part. Nobody who leaves senior design doesn't think they had an experience, right? Based on knowledge and skills acquired in earlier coursework and incorporating engineering standards and realistic constraints that include most of the following: economic, environmental, sustainability, manufacturability, ethical, health and safety, social and political. That's a lot of stuff that you haven't had in your courses to the same extent that you've had basic engineering, math, and science. But those are all very important elements of design today, and we'll go through a scenario to address some of those and give you a better idea of what we mean by that. At Temple, we focus on a few important aspects of design. The first one is multidisciplinary. I want to see multidisciplinary teams. Why? Why is building a multidisciplinary team in senior design so important?
Because when we're engineers, we'll work with other sorts of engineers?
Absolutely. Most of you, when you get your first job, may very well be the only engineer of your discipline on the team. Engineering teams are very multidisciplinary. So why are engineering teams very multidisciplinary in the real world? Not quite. Good point, but not quite. Something more basic. Engineering problems are multifaceted. My first semester, we had a team of civil engineers take on a project to rotate a mirrored dish to collect sun and heat water. And from the very beginning, we kept telling them the hardest part of this project is going to be the electronics. And they kept saying, no, that won't be such a big deal. By the end of second semester, they did actually a pretty amazing job of trying to actually learn how to design circuits, do printed circuit boards, civil and engineering students. And by the end of it, I was pretty impressed that they actually had designed circuit board, they printed it, done it, sent it out for fabrication and all that kind of stuff. But by the end of that project, they said, you know, we really needed an electrical engineer on this team to be successful. Now, your tendency is going to be to build teams with your friends, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but most of the projects you're going to come up with are going to require input from several disciplines, and it's best that you have people on your team that reflect those disciplines. So, multidisciplinary is important. Customer-driven, aggressive, quantitative design constraints. We'll talk a lot about this through the course of senior design, but we do not design systems in the abstract anymore. Every design you'll ever do in today's world is driven by a set of constraints. Constraints usually come to you from the marketing wing of your company, or they may come from external organizations, but you're always designing to constraints. And we'll teach you a lot about that in senior design. Incorporation of practical considerations, we'll talk about that when we go through an example today. Project management. You're going to learn Microsoft Project in this course. We're going to teach you a little bit about project management. That's a very large part of what you're going to do as engineers, even though many of you, think that's not why you got into engineering. You will learn how to do budgets. You will learn how to do schedules. That's as important part. That's an important part of engineering. More important than you might think. And professional communication, very important. You have to be able to communicate your ideas to us, your management, and we'll spend a lot of time on that. So this is going to be a pretty broad experience that's going to involve a lot of things beyond just basic engineering. Now, what is senior design not about? Senior design is not about sitting around and creating a unique project concept. It really drives me crazy when I see students sitting around the table trying to invent some new idea or new system or something. That is not what we expect in senior design. And I'll tell you an example of that. I'll show you a few examples of that today, but we do not expect you to create something new. You can take an existing product and try to build a new version of that. You can take a project that's been tackled before and try to do a better job of it. You can take a project that your advisor gives you. Those are really generally a good thing to do, is if your advisor is interested in a project, give it consideration. Because to do these kinds of things is very, very time consuming and very hard to do over a 2-semester course. Senior design is about translating customer needs into quantitative design constraints. One of the first things I'll ask you is, what are the constraints on your project? If you say, well, you know, I'm going to build a bridge. Well, we're going to get part of what you have to understand before we can approve the project is, what are the constraints on that bridge? There are many types of bridges you could build. You have to give us enough constraints that we understand the specific type of bridge you're going to try to build. Another important part of the process, and this is really what engineering design is all about, is optimizing the design to meet these constraints. The constraints come from the problem statement. The engineering process is to then to design a system that meets those constraints, and the constraints may be low cost, may be high performance, low maintenance, a lot of different kinds of constraints. But your job as engineers, and this is what we call evidence of design, this is what we look for in senior design, your job is to show us how you've optimized the system to meet these constraints. That's essentially what engineering design is all about. Now, you have to verify these, so we'll also talk a lot about testing. You have to be able to verify that you've met these constraints by actually building and testing your system. That's actually the focus of second semester, is the test verification process. And you'll also, in the process, fabricate a prototype. Students will often say, well, all you really have to do is build something and get it to work and they'll be happy. No. That does not guarantee that you pass senior design. What allows you to pass senior design is to show us that you actually understand what you've built and can analyze and predict its performance, and that you've actually tested what you've built and show us that it meets performance. So key elements include learning how to communicate, appreciating the multidisciplinary aspects, and understanding how practical constraints such as cost and sustainability influence the design process at every step. One of the things you'll hear a lot about through your careers are what's often called the three fundamental dimensions of engineering, which are performance, cost, and schedule. These three go together, because you can always achieve a certain level of performance. If somebody gives you a task and they say, this is what I want the performance to be, you can always achieve that if you're given enough time and enough money. But in the 1960s, a classic example of that was the goal to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade. That was what some people consider one of the great times in engineering, because NASA had almost an unlimited budget to do that. And the goal was to just be able to do that by the end of the decade. And they weren't so much worried about cost. But in today's world, every product you look at, and we'll talk a little bit about this in a moment, is tremendously constrained by cost and schedule. Many of you as engineers are going to walk into your first job and be asked to design something that's going to be a product by the end of your first year. You'll be under a very, very rapid development cycle. And schedules always generally have a large thing to do, large part of your problem. So in senior design, you know, the issue isn't can you build this thing, the issue is can you build this thing over the course of two semesters. Time's going to be a big constraint for you in senior design. And then another dimension in this is risk. And good engineering project management involves actually managing these four dimensions. And we'll spend time in senior design 1 and 2 on how to actually do that. So, evidence of design. This is essentially, this is a diagram of the engineering design process. This is essentially how, one way I like to view design. It begins with a problem statement. The problem statement comes from the customer. It comes from the application. It comes from the external sponsor. It doesn't come from you. So the problem statement will describe some need or some opportunity that exists, and your job is going to be to engineer a system to solve that problem. The design constraints then follow from the problem statement. The design constraints do not follow from your approach. Very often when people initially write us problem statements, they write it in terms of approach. My problem is to build this iPod using microprocessor 3971. That's not a problem statement. The problem statement for an iPod is something more along the lines of building a device that fits in somebody's shirt pocket that can hold 500 songs and can run 8 hours on a single charge. That was actually one of the original design constraints for the iPod, was it had to fit. At the time it was conceived, we actually conceived the iPod. We used to work at Texas Instruments, and we talked about the iPod back in the early 80s, late 70s. We knew how to build it, but what was the problem? The problem was it didn't fit in your shirt box. It was a box. We actually built a few prototypes that were about this big. It was not portable. And it was heavy and it was hot. Steve Jobs, when he conceived the iPod, one of the first design requirements was it has to fit in your shirt pocket. You may know the history of the 3.5-inch floppy disk. It was the same deal. It had to fit in your shirt pocket. That was the design constraint. So we're going to teach you about how you form these kinds of design constraints, but the design constraints flow from the problem statement. The problem statement flows from an understanding of the market and the environment in which this problem exists. So the research that we talked about, one of the things you're going to be doing over the summer is reading up everything you can about the project that you've chosen, particularly about the problem space. Who are the major competitors? What are the dominant solutions? What are good and bad about each one of these solutions? How does your approach fit within this space? You need to understand all that to write a good problem statement. Once you've done the design constraints, then you're going to do the design. The design is probably the easiest part of senior design. At the same time you're doing the design, though, you're actually going to be writing test specifications. We'll talk a lot about testing in second semester. But generally speaking, with most engineering projects, you have an independent organization that writes the test specifications for what you're designing. They determine when you want to certify that your product is complete and it functions as predicted, that's done through independent testing. So they'll draft test specifications. You'll then develop a simulation of your product or project and show that it meets. You'll go through the first test verification step, which is to show that your simulation meets your design constraints. If you were to build this system according to your simulation, this is how it would perform, and that performance would meet your design constraints. Today, most engineering is done through simulation. The days of sitting in the lab building stuff are long gone. Most of the time, you'll sit in front of a computer terminal, You'll design the system. You'll get everything right. You'll hit a button. A few days later, the fabricated system will show up on your desk. So you simulate, you get everything right, you're ready to commit, you now send it out for prototyping. And I mean, that depending on what you're building, the prototyping phase may be, you know, done in different ways. If it's an electrical engineering project, you may do this with some prototyping boards and things like that. If you're building a structure, you may actually build a small piece of it to try to understand if it's really going to behave the way you think it is. If you're building an automobile, you may do clay models. You may, you know, prototype various pieces of the engine and such to understand its performance. And once you've done all that, you'll go through a second testing stage where you actually now show that the prototype meets your design constraints and matches your simulation. If the prototype doesn't match your simulation, you'll spend time trying to understand the difference between these two. Too often, students in senior design say, well, you know, the simulation's just off. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to continue on. But you have to understand, if your prototype behaves differently than your simulation, why it's different. Once you're satisfied that your prototype meets the test specs, now you'll actually go and build the real thing. And that will often mean going from a system that might look like this to a system that might look like this. And the process of miniaturizing or productizing or hardening or committing to a real system, there's all sorts of new problems that come up in doing that. The first versions of this MP3 player that I'm using were probably on boards about this big. Everything worked fine. Audio quality was really high. Everyone was happy. They shrink it to this size. What happens? All sorts of problems with the audio, because now you have components really close to each other, and there's all sorts of effects that happen because of that. So they'll often do several hardware implementations before you get it right. This was probably built about 10 times before they finally got it right. In fact, this is about third generation of this particular product. You're going to do 3 hardware prototypes in Senior Design 2. Not because we want you to, but because that's what it's going to take to get the thing to work properly. The first one will be sort of a waste. You'll learn something, but I guarantee you the minute you build the first one, you'll realize all the things that are not going to work about your design. Then you'll do it a second time and get a little closer. Then you do it a third time and hopefully get it right. And once you've done that, then you test the final hardware and hopefully you graduate senior design. In the real world, this, of course, goes on multiple times. So people often talk about cyclone diagrams where you'll have overlapping circles, indicating that this is an iterative process. So are there any general questions on that? I'm sure everyone absorbed 100% of that, right? This is a little bit more about the design methodology. I'll just skip this, but you'll have access to these slides online. So, what are you responsible for in seminar class? All we're asking for is 150 to 200 words describing your project. Piece of cake, right? I computed once that for a technical writing class, we talked about the number of hours that students actually put into generating this, and we factored in some standard labor rates for engineers and such. And it turns out that just in writing the abstract, the cost per word was something like $100 a word. Because, of course, you're not just going to write one abstract. You're going to write about 50 abstracts until you really get it right. And if you go through all the time it takes to do that, it really adds up. But we force it to be short because we want it to be crisp. We want it to have only the relevant information, and we want it to be, you know, get to the point. So this is what we're looking for in the project abstract. And you'll spend time this semester going through this. Once you draft the first version of your deliverable for Dr. Ryan, That actually goes to the Senior Design Coordinating Committee, which consists of myself, Dr. Ryan, Dr. Higgins from Electrical and Computer Engineering, and Dr. Cohen from Mechanical Engineering. This team meets every week behind the scenes, and we actually talk about each and every project every week. It's really great. It's a lot of fun, and I learn a lot through these meetings. But we will take these abstracts. If you think people don't read these things, we will take these abstracts in those meetings and go through them word by word. The four of us. Four pretty decent engineers, I'll tell you. And it's really interesting to hear all the discussions. So, you know, there's a lot of thought, a lot of work that's going to go into this. Now, how do you learn how to do this? Well, the good thing is we have all these websites. So every senior design project done in the last few semesters is available from the web, and you'll learn more about that this semester as you get into doing your project. Your projects are going to evolve around building these websites because everything you do is going to go on your website. And if you don't know where the engineering, where the senior design websites are now, you're probably already behind the curve because all the projects that have been done have websites that contain all their documents. You can look at their abstracts, you can look at their design documents, you can look at their designs, you can look at their presentations. In source form, all that's available to you. So that means every semester we expect better and better things from the students because you're able to build on this body of knowledge that's been created each semester. Now, how many of you have attended Senior Design Day? Yeah, you see? How many of you have attended multiple Senior Design Days? Very good. That's a problem for the rest of you. You have no idea what's expected. We hope that since we cancel classes for Senior Design Day, we expect everybody to show up at Senior Design Day. Why? Because we want you to see for multiple semesters what is expected in these presentations. Those of you who have attended these presentations, what did you think? Pretty rough, right? If you get up there and you don't have the right stuff, they get pretty rough. Because we have experts in the room who are going to quiz you about your projects. It's going to be the longest 15 minutes of your life when you give those presentations. But it's a culminating event in senior design. So what I wanted to do for the rest of class is talk through, by way of an example, sort of about what we're expecting in senior design. And this lecture kind of, it's what is known as my hammer lecture, but it kind of evolved around students not understanding what is expected in senior design. So we try to do it in very basic terms since almost everybody can relate to a hammer. We've tried other things, but this actually turns out to be pretty successful. But before I do that, I want to talk about how do you find, so now you're in a process where you need to find a senior design project. And it needs to satisfy all these constraints that I'm talking about, which is pretty significant. How do you go about finding your senior design project? Because that's what you're going to have to do over the next few weeks. You're going to start this journey. Why?
For ideas.
Why? Close. That's a good start. That's a good answer. Talk to faculty. What are the key elements of success in senior design? What are some of the elements that it's going to take to be successful in senior design? If you look at a successful project, you walk in senior design day and you see this team get up and give a great project. I can tell you most of the time, if it's one of the top, let's say, 5 or 10 projects, certain things are going to be true, invariably be true about that project. What are they?
Good team.
What does it mean to have a good team? It means everybody sat together for every minute of the day and worked together on everything, right? No, that's a recipe for failure. What does it mean to have a good team?
Active people who will help each other out. Efficient workers get together when they need to discuss problems.
Close.
Communication.
Good. All good things, but not quite the essence. What is the characteristic of a good team? What?
The researchers.
The researchers? Heck no. If you give me a team of researchers, I'll show you, and I'm a researcher, by the way, so I can speak firsthand. I will show you a project that's going to run behind schedule and over budget and probably not build anything that's useful.
A project that fits the people in the group.
In what sense? Closer.
The stuff they're doing is close to them, as in like parts of mechanical, parts of civil. The idea they're working with is...
One of the things that happens when I look at the end at a project and I say, boy, that was a really good project. And I look at the team members and I say, you know, I can't imagine a better team to execute that project because everybody had a very clearly defined role and those roles matched very well with people's expertise. For example, if you think you're a hardware guru, if you're someone who's built a lot of stuff, raise your hand. Oh, come on. Come on. Don't be bashful here. We have one back there, a couple over here. That's it?
Did it have to work?
No, it doesn't have to work. Sometimes our failures are our best stories. Are you kidding?
Do Legos count?
Legos don't quite count. That's more like prototype simulation or something. No, I'm talking about, you know, for electricals, if you've actually built circuit boards, for mechanicals, if you've machined stuff, if you know how to use a lathe, or you've built actual stuff, you worked on cars, and for civils, you know, if you've actually designed structures or, you know, that kind of thing. Okay, so raise your hands if you think you're kind of very practical. You've got good practical skills. You can, if someone gives you a picture, you can build it. I see a couple people not raising their hands. Okay, good. These are the people that you probably want to get on your team immediately. Because every team needs a good implementer. And many teams fail because they don't have a good implementer. So balance your team with the skills that you need. You need somebody who's a good writer. You need somebody who's a good communicator. You need somebody who's a good builder. You need somebody who's a good theoretician. Don't simply pick your four best friends or three best friends. I can almost guarantee if you do that, they will not be your best friends by the end of senior design. Half of the teams in senior design one experience serious personnel dysfunction. Half. That means half of you in this room will have, the number of teams that have personnel problems is very high for a semester. So, we have good team. What else for this successful project? I'm sorry?
Good project.
Good idea. What?
Easier project.
No. Did anyone see the water percolator? I could talk for hours about the project we had on the water percolator. It was nothing more, they thought, than a tube, some sand, and a piece of cloth. And it was going to save the third world countries by giving everybody clean drinking water. Tremendously challenging project, only they found that out after they tried to build it. They thought it was a simple project. Turned out to be really complicated. The water that came out of it was actually dirtier than the water that went into it. And I told him early on, I said, you know, the test is going to be if you'll actually drink the water that comes out of this thing at the end of second semester. And believe me, when that water came out, nobody was interested in drinking it. All right, so we have good team, you know, we have sort of good project concept, but what's the next key ingredient?
Spend more time with team.
No. Advisor. What about your advisor? Choosing an advisor is a lot like choosing a significant other. They don't have to be the smartest, but they, sure the heck better be someone that you really like working with on a daily basis. Because they're going to, the good advisors are really intimately involved in the projects. The good advisors are there for you every day of the week. They answer emails quickly. You know, they're there for you. The not so good advisors may be perfectly nice people, but they may be very busy and they may not be prepared to work with you every week. You will meet every week with your advisors, and there's a lot of things that go on with that, and it's very, very important to pick a good advisor. Don't pick them because, you know, you had a class with them and you thought they taught the class well. Pick them because they're passionate about the project that you're doing. Which brings us back to the project concept. The key in all this is to pick a project that the advisor is really interested in. So don't go to the advisor and say, I have an idea. Go to the advisor and say, what are the things you're interested in? We really would like to work with you. And then you negotiate. So that's some things to think about the teaming. Now, how do you get ideas for projects assuming that they don't come from your advisor? Where are some of the places you can go for good ideas? What? The internet. Well, the internet's pretty broad. Can we focus that a little bit more? So I bought this little thing. This is a device called the Barkoff, which when your dog barks, it makes a high frequency sound that only dogs can hear, which makes them realize they shouldn't be barking. And I actually was looking for a senior design team to build this because I bought this for $9.99, and building this for $9.99 and making a profit on it and having it work is quite a challenge. To my amazement, it actually works. But where do you think I learned about this? And in fact, I have a senior design team this semester working on a project that came from the same source. Where are some of the places you can go to get inspiration for senior design?
Where they have commercials?
There, absolutely. Absolutely. Infomercials are good. What's the equivalent of infomercials when you fly? SkyMall. Oh, absolutely. When I get on a plane, the first thing I do is read SkyMall because I want to see all these cool things people have thought about and how they think, and I like looking at them and wondering how could they make a profit on that. This, I actually saw this for $40 in SkyMall. It was a more advanced version of this. So then I went to the internet and said, okay, you know, let's look up what's out there. And I found out there are products that range anywhere from $10 to $300 that do this. And this is what engineering design is all about. So then you start thinking or analyzing them. What are the differences? How much of that is hype? How much of that worked? To my amazement, this worked. I actually bought this expecting it wasn't going to work, but I just had to, for $10, take a shot at it. Because the one that got really good reviews on the internet was, of course, the professional version. It was $300. Now, building this is not trivial. So, you know, SkyMall is a good place. Any sort of company that sells products in the area you're interested in. There's some websites that are particularly devoted to gadgets and things like that. What's another great source of inspiration for senior design? In fact, it's really good. It's become a really prominent place where you can see all sorts of senior design projects. And it's something you guys use just about every, probably 10 times a day. What? I'm sorry? Facebook? Facebook a little bit, but what's the close to Facebook? YouTube. If you go on YouTube, you will see millions of videos of senior design projects and things people have built. And whenever teams bring to me concepts, one of the first things I do is go to YouTube and I look for videos and see if somebody's put up a video showing off their attempt to build something like that. We have a helicopter project this semester that I'm still fighting with them because I saw some really cool videos on YouTube of helicopters, and I wanted them to do it that way, and they said they weren't going to, and we've been battling ever since. No, I would disagree with that. I don't think any discipline is easier or harder. You just have to understand what are the opportunities in your discipline. But fortunately, you've got an inventory of projects done here at Temple and at my previous institution where I taught senior design. So you can look at at the previous civil engineering projects, and you'll see some very consistent threads. But all projects actually have similar complexity. In fact, all projects ultimately involve all three disciplines. And that's one of the things I want to stress this semester. So I won't have enough time today to go through the whole kind of hammer story. I do a whole little lecture on this. But when you think about this hammer, if you think about the story I like to tell, this actually grew out of a story where at my former institution, I used to have students come up to me and say they wanted to actually start a company out of their garage in Mississippi, which is where I taught. I actually had students who would come to me and say, you know, the three of us want to get together and build something like this and sell it out of their garage, funded on their own, you know, their own personal savings and things. They want to start a company. And I would talk them through this and try to convince them that's a really bad idea. To build this hammer and sell it on the shelves at Lowe's for $20, what do you think your business is going to be like? Tell me something a little bit about the profile of your business. Where is your, first and foremost, where are you going to be producing this hammer if you want to be selling it on the shelves at Lowe's for $20? China. So you better have somebody on your team that speaks Chinese, because you're going to be traveling to China and negotiating with the manufacturing plant. And I read a book recently, Poorly Made in China, which introduces you to, there's people who this is their career, is to just serve as intermediaries between companies in the U.S. and manufacturing plants in China, because these are very complex negotiations. We were talking about civil projects a little bit. One of the things you need to think about in today's world that you didn't need to think about 30 years ago was, what happens to this hammer when it gets thrown in the garbage? If this sits in a garbage landfill, and for some reason, as the chemicals, as the materials degrade, it starts leaching really awful chemicals, what's going to happen 20, 30 years from now? You're going to have a big lawsuit on your hands dealing with the environmental impact of your product. So as you're designing this hammer, you're going to have to think about how you're going to manufacture it. And your choice in design materials is going to be influenced by long-term sustainability issues. Why did a lot of companies move across the border from Texas into Mexico in the past 20 years? I used to live in Texas, and if you go down to the southern part of Texas, you'll see all these companies that moved from southern part of Texas 5-10 miles across the border into Mexico. Not just labor. Taxes a little bit, but primary reason. What kind of regulations? Environmental. Environmental issues were such a large component of their manufacturing cost that it was cheaper to move an entire factory 5 miles down the road just so you could have a completely different and more lax set of environmental standards to deal with. So even in something simple like this, you may start off thinking, well, you know, the three of us are going to build this at a little plant here in Pennsylvania. You're going to end up realizing that you're in an international business that's very complicated, because you're going to deal with many, many issues beyond just the technical issues in designing this hammer. But the other reason I like to talk about the hammer is because students used to say, well, it's really hard to come up with 10 design constraints for my project. But even if you take something simple like a hammer, there's hundreds of design constraints, quantitative design constraints, that involve the design of this hammer. So just remember that when you're complaining to us that you're having trouble coming up with 10 design constraints for your senior design project. That's something you'll generate in the second or third week of Senior Design 1. And that's really where the rubber meets the road, because now you have to describe what you're building in terms of quantitative design constraints. And good projects, that's very easy. They fall out naturally. Projects are a little more difficult. It's somewhat difficult to do that. I'm sorry?
Do people ever decide to change their project?
Yeah, but they might have to go back and repeat Senior Design 1. We've had, we try to straighten all that out before you get into Senior Design 1, and that's why we want you to do work over the summer. We've had some projects do mid-course corrections, and that means they have to repeat all the work in Senior Design 2. They've had to repeat all the work they did in Senior Design 1. Now, the interesting thing and the fun thing about this is what you end up building looks nothing like what you first conceived. So the projects do change, but they change in a way that's governed by engineering design and not just random decisions. All right, so if you have any questions about senior design, please come and talk to me personally or talk with Dr. Ryan, but it's really important we get going on this early.